Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen. I'm very loud coughing / keyboard typing. It is brought to you by my co-host today, Trey Watkins. What's up, Trezzy?
Oh, that's a nickname. I'm doing good, man.
Did that work?
Chilling like folding. just stick with Trey, man. Stick with Trey. But yeah, it's feeling like fall up here, so I'm feeling good. Feeling real good.
Yikes. So Trezzy doesn't even work. Man.
I just roll with Trey, man. I've always rolled with Trey.
Well, nicknames aren't really chosen, but I'll respect your wishes.
See, I respect that.
Only because we are living in wild times in this nation right now, Trey. Obviously, the big news of the of today and last night was that the Broncos beat the Jets in really a thriller that will go down as one of the all-time classic Thursday night football games. And yeah, I guess I want to start there because you've got beef with Adam Gase, and I don't really want you to rehash it because you have said it eloquently before, and I don't want to just have you yell at Adam Gase every week, but I'll do it this time. I mean, how is this man still employed? Like, I do not understand. Like, for one, you put in Mekhi Becton, and he was hurt. So you essentially played a player that wasn't ready to go back in, and you re-aggravated his injury further, hence taking out your second best player, probably. Your defense, led by Greg Williams, like, intentionally targeted the knees of the Broncos all game long and threw some really nasty hits at the end of the game. I frankly don't know how the NFL hasn't come down with suspensions for him yet, but there was, in my opinion, clearly bounties out that game. Clearly a team that was going for injuries on the Broncos side of things. And I didn't appreciate that as a Broncos fan. Neither did Vic Fangio, who sent his team right to the locker room, didn't even bother shaking hands at the end of this game. And then, two, I mean, Sam Darnold, it comes out today that he's got a sprained shoulder or something, and he's going to miss like 6 to 7 weeks. But yet, last night when he got slammed down on his shoulder, and Troy Aikman told the world, oh, that's a broken collarbone, which, by the way, calm down, Troy. Like, you're not a doctor. Like, he clearly came back in the game. So you put Sam Darnold at more risk just to win maybe one game against a bad Broncos team. I guess Adam Gase was that desperate. But still, when it mattered most, Sam Darnold had a chance to pick up a fourth down, couldn't make the throw, held the ball too long, got sacked. And, man, the Jets are terrible. And that's not to say that the Broncos are much better, because I thought for a moment they were going to lose to the effing Jets. But they're better than the Jets. And, I mean, that's something. That's something to be encouraged by. And everybody told me to respect Brett Rippon for about two quarters. Man, were they wrong. I laughed at them. That was a good time. That man is terrible. Can't play quarterback. I mean, he'll be a backup. Sure, fine. But to think that he's anything more than that, I mean, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. He's not good at football. He's not capable of starting a 16-game season. The Broncos, if they continue to stick with him, if Locke never gets back, they'll go 1-15 because he's terrible. He threw three interceptions against the Jets. Come on, man. Like, and all these draft buffs are saying, well, he just turned himself 10 years and then just what? I had him as my QB2. Well, guess what, bro? Your QB2 just threw three interceptions to the Jets because he stinks. I just have thoughts. I'm fired up that people tried to tell me to respect that man, and he didn't deserve a shred of my respect, and he still doesn't have it. Brett Rypien, you're not good. You're fine. You're not good.
Man, classic feelings of a Broncos fan and of a winless football team, man. I think you still got some more left in you, man. I think you still got some more left in you.
What?
Do you have any more anger still left in you, man? I feel like that's not all of it. I feel like you have a lot more anger still left in there waiting to just release.
My entire sports fandom is pain at this very moment. I mean, the Reds stink. The Reds can't get a hit in the postseason to save their life. Oh, yeah, we can get strikeouts. Trevor Bauer, he's going to whirl a nice game. Luis Castillo, he's going to look nice. 22 innings and you can't get a hit? Come on, man. You got kidding me. And I got to bleep that out now. I am so sick of the Reds. They tricked me into watching 40 games of baseball this year. What a fake sport that is. And here I am watching the Reds all the time, and they lose fucking playoffs to the Braves. I mean, come on, man. I just cannot stand the sports teams I root for right now. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, John Elway's still employed. That's a problem. We could go all day on that. I mean, we saw some good things. Michael Ojemudia looked much improved. That's fine, bro. Show me against the Patriots. Lock down a bad N'Keal Harry, and I will believe. I will sing your praises if you lock down bad N'Keal Harry. But if you can't lock down bad N'Keal Harry next week, I don't want to hear that Michael Ojemudia is this trans revolution of a player who's just out here making plays. He made plays against the Jets. Good for you, man. You didn't get burnt against the Jets. You held sub-college wide receivers to nothing. That's good. That's what a decent NFL cornerback should do. So congrats on being a decent NFL cornerback. And that's a lot better than what people thought a few weeks ago. So overall, I guess I'm not that mad at Michael Ojemudia. He's a good guy and he played well. Bradley Chubb has showed up. Bradley Chubb has showed the world, hey, I'm Bradley Chubb. I'm going to get 3 sacks. I'm going to win the game. And another thing, Trey, but your team can't even stay healthy. Your team gets COVID, ruins the league, ruins everything. 7 players test positive. The Tennessee Titans can't even keep it together. And meanwhile, the Broncos get a win. And I'm never happy. I am never happy. But I'll be happy today. And this is why I'm slightly fired up. Because the Broncos got to win. That's all that really matters, Trey. The Broncos got to win. They got to win, and they're not going to go winless. Are they going to win 7 games like some of these delusional Broncos fans are saying? Absolutely not. They're going to win 5 games max. Drew Lock's going to look meh. They'll probably pass on a quarterback. It'll be the wrong move, and they'll be stuck in purgatory. We know how this plays out. So why don't we just fast forward to the start of next season so I can be disappointed in Drew Lock? I mean, I don't want to talk about the Broncos anymore. You got me all fired up. What? This is why I don't even know why I brought you on, Trey, because you baited me into this. You baited me into this rant. Now I'm angry. You got to take over because I'm losing control of the ship here. You know why I wanted to have our friend Josh Newman on this program? You know why I wanted to have a professional newspaper writer on this program? Because I would have kept myself in check, because I wouldn't want to embarrass myself in front of my journalistic icons. But here I am with just you, Trey, and you bait me into this. I mean, what a stab in the back by you, the co-host. And I mean, here, but I guess it's good entertainment. So I mean, good job by you, the co-host. So I can't stop talking. I need to stop talking. What are we going to talk about now that I've gotten off my chest? That the Jets stink. They're going 0-16. I'm calling my shot right now. They stink. Adam Gase stinks. Somehow Adam Gase is going to be their coach next year too, because the Jets stink and they're going to make the wrong decisions because the owner stinks. The whole franchise stinks and they'll stink forever. Woo!
Is that all? Is that all? You got everything out, right? Everything?
I'm sure there's more, but
oh man, that was hilarious. We just start the first one I don't even know how many minutes have gone by. We start the first 5-10 minutes of this podcast of Eric of just freaking ranting his ass off about his trash Broncos, man, and how Adam Gase. Like, yeah, I know you said
your team can't even get through a season without getting players with COVID. Come on.
Hey, man, look. Hey, man, I'm chilling, dude. My life, you know what? I'll be honest with you. My life was so much better without sports. I could legit throw away any sports-related stress.
What's wrong with you?
My life was better without sports. During the summer, my life was better without sports.
That's bad enough, it's Trey, that I might kick you off, cut ties with you, and never let you back on this podcast. The world is a terrible place without sports.
I mean, I was so good without sports, man. I was so relaxed. Do you know what I did? I read novels for the first time in like 6 years, dude. Nerd. And I was so relaxed.
Nerd.
I didn't have any stress, man. I was freaking relaxed. Now sports are back and my life stinks, man. So look, man. I'm perfectly fine without sports. Yeah, I guess the NFL is an exception, but everything else aside from the NFL is nothing but stress. It makes me want to grab a stress ball and rip it up into tiny pieces and make it a mess that I don't want to clean up. So,
I'm sorry I'm not a super virgin and spend my life reading books. I'm sorry about
You know that. What, man? Look, man. Dude, look, books are books, man. Look, if I could sit there and read a book and literally not have to worry about every last I have to go through it and damn like, look, that's
what
fine with
this
me.
Podcast? Call me whatever you want to do. I have to make so many edits at this point.
Let's say, you know what? Look. We both like football, right? And I think football tends to get our stress levels down some. Actually, they increase them, but they tend to relax us.
Don't you miss getting angry about things you can't even control? I miss it. I love getting angry online. It's my favorite.
I hate it all the time. So you know what? Let's throw away every single last little bit of unrelated or football unrelated news that pisses us off and makes us want to punch a hole in the wall. Let's do that. And let's go over some freaking football that's going to be played this Sunday and Monday. How about that?
Well, you just argued against yourself. You said you wanted sports to disappear.
Everything aside from the NFL is fine with me. Or everything aside from the NFL brings me stress. That's what I mean to say. And it's annoying. So look, man. You know what? I like talking to the NFL. That's why I'm on here, man.
You gotta take over. Because I've
you know what? Yeah, I'll do that.
I've lost control of the ship.
All right, you know what? Let's move on to some football. Look, man, let's just move into some football, man. You know, there's a good game that's going to be on this weekend. There's a couple good games that's going to be on this weekend. Let's start with the Browns and the Cowboys. Now, I don't think we can qualify the Browns and Cowboys as a good game, considering Baker Mayfield is blah. The Cowboys' defense is blah. The Browns' defense is blah. They have no corners. All the corners are hurt. It's a shit show. This could be a shootout. This could legit be a shootout. One of the most entertaining games of the week. Where's this game at? AT&T Stadium. Yeah. Let's discuss this. Nick Chubb is awesome. Kareem Hunt is awesome. I love Cleveland's offense ever since Kevin Stefanski came in over there, but. Every time Baker Mayfield has been forced to throw, whenever the run game has been stopped, he's looked like complete garbage. And Dak Prescott is running for his life and doing everything he can to keep the Cowboys in games just because his defense can't stop air. They cannot stop air, Eric. The Cowboys defense is horrible. I talked myself up on this Cowboys defense all summer long because I saw the pass rush. I saw the linebackers. And I said, you know what? If that pass rush gets there and their corners can just not be horrible. If these corners could just hold their positions down, this pass rush will get there. Those linebackers will be athletic enough to make plays. And even if they stay healthy, which they have not, and the corners have been horrible. So the pass rush hasn't gotten a chance to, you know, get going. I mean, Alden Smith, seeing Alden Smith come back and put up some dominant numbers for the first time in years. It's actually really fun to see. It's really fun to see after, you know, him clean up his life. But other than that, the Cowboys defense is disgusting. The offense is good. The offense is good, though. So I guess we could see a shootout, Eric. Maybe. Are you thinking shootout in Browns Cowboys?
Yeah, I think it's possible, but I just don't think Browns are built to play shootout style football. But this is an opportunity for Baker Mayfield to just tear you apart, Trey. And show that he is not a quote blah quarterback. This is the game where Baker Mayfield could put up some numbers, I believe. The Cowboys secondary is terrible. I mean, when Trevon Diggs is your best corner and he's a rookie, that's a problem. That said, I need to give love to Dak Prescott. I mean, he's 5 right now. He's quarterback 5. That's where I think he's at. And I think he's solidly there, and I don't think he's going to leave. Because, I mean, even though he's on a team with a bad defense, and even though he has surrounding talent, like, he is playing lights out football and probably the best of his entire career. I just love watching Dak Prescott right now. He's just one of my favorite guys to watch week in and week out on Game Pass, and he's doing some good things right now. And I honestly think that the Browns might be in a little bit of trouble here. I think the Cowboys, their schedule is weak here coming up the next few weeks. I know they're not a complete team. I know they're not by any means a great team, but their offense is elite. And I mean, no one is going to stop that offense. That's my takeaway. They're the best offense in the NFL right now, ahead of the Chiefs even, I would say, ahead of the Packers. It is the Cowboys and no one else. They are clicking on all cylinders right now, and they could easily be 5-2 heading into week 7, because here's the schedule. Browns, Giants, Cardinals, Washington football team, Eagles, all the way up to that Steelers game on November 8th. They could go into that Steelers game being 5-2 very easily, very easily. I think they can outscore the Cardinals. The Giants stink. The Washington football team stinks. I mean, the Eagles stink. I am – people who are worried about the Cowboys completely forget that the NFC East is a trash division full of garbage fires. So I am about ready to crown the Cowboys division champs, even if their defense sucks. I am going to have fun watching them every week because every game is a shootout with them. And I like shootouts. I like fun, high scoring football. I appreciate good defense, but if I have to choose, I'm watching a shootout, and I'm watching high level quarterback play, and that's what you're getting from the Dallas Cowboys right now.
No, I really believe that. It's just so like the whole situation surrounding Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones, and the Dallas Cowboys, because Dak Prescott has put out so many examples ever since his rookie year that he's worthy of that big quarterback money, the big quarterback contract that Dak Prescott wants. The Jerry Jones, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he hit his head. I don't know if he's just refusing to believe the gym that he has a quarterback right in front of. I don't know what he's doing. But I don't know what his problem is in refusing to lock this guy up for the future. Because, look, I don't think Jerry Jones is stupid enough to let Dak Prescott walk after his current rookie contract runs out. But I think Jerry Jones is stupid enough to let Dak Prescott walk or trade Dak Prescott and miss out on holding on to a franchise quarterback for the future, because that's what he is. He's that freaking good. He's taking advantage of the run game that he's got in the offensive line, the weapons that he's continued to receive over the years, and he's just been great. He's just been great. I don't know what Jerry Jones is doing. Yeah, I think a lot of people have been screaming this ever since the whole negotiation between Dak and the Cowboys. Lock Dak up, man. Lock Dak up. That's your quarterback. That should be your quarterback for the future. And if you don't find a way to lock this guy for the future, then I don't know what else you could say about, you know, Jerry Jones. I mean, that's just stupid. That's just stupid if you can't walk back up. But in this potential high score game, I think I'll of course take the Cowboys. If the Browns win the game, can't get going, and Baker Mayfield is forced to at least make some more plays with his arm in the passing game, then I'm not confident in him winning those matchups and making those plays. So I'll take the Cowboys in this one. Potential high-scoring game, but it's a really fun game to watch. Really, really sneaky good game this week. So, yeah, I'll take the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys as well. I like this. You keep going. Tell me where we're going next.
All right. I think let's try to get some of these bad games out the way. That way we can spend most of our time talking about the really, really good games that interest us the most. Let's go to Ravens, Washington football team. That's an easy one. Ravens, the Washington football team, even though I love what Ron Rivera has got that defense and that specifically that defensive line doing, they're playing some real physical, inspired football on the defensive side of the ball. It's gotten, I guess, a new, fresh feel to the Redskins, who I believe if you watch
Washington football team.
Ah, gosh, man. Sorry. Dadgummit. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to get used to that.
Come on,
but
Trey.
I'm sorry. If you watch the Washington football team over the past 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years, the Washington football team has just played some really uninspired football, and it's been tough to watch them. Every time you see them on TV, you would immediately turn them off to find a better game. So, seeing that defensive line, that defense in Washington playing some real inspired football, is really fun to see. And it's not only the defense; that whole team is finding a way to stay competitive in games so far, which is real good to see. I think that's what you were dealing with Ron Rivera when you hired him. A leader, a strong voice, and a guy who can bring a culture change to a struggling franchise. So it's been fun to see over there. But that's all good. But it's Lamar Jackson, it's Mark Ingram, it's that offensive line, that defense, which has made some improvements. Even though they got absolutely dotted up by the Kansas City Chiefs last week, everybody does. So I'll take the Ravens. Easy pick here, Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, as I said, won't make it through the whole season. Ron Rivera's already given quotes to media saying there's a quarterback change coming if he doesn't play better. So it's crunch time for a guy that has never really shown us anything. Unfortunately, I think he's set up to fail. Doesn't really have a bunch of weapons outside of Terry McLaurin around him. So it sucks for Dwayne Haskins. Hopefully he gets a shot somewhere else. But it sounds like the Dwayne Haskins era in Washington's coming to an end here. I'll go Ravens as well.
All right. Sounds good. Let's move on to the Chargers Buccaneers. Actually, I'll save that game. That could be an intriguing game. I'll save that game. Let's go Saints Lions. Let's go Jaguars-Bengals. Jaguars-Bengals. Only because that even though Joe Burrow has really, really impressed over these past couple weeks, and he should have won last week. He should have got his first win last week. But the Bengals defense couldn't find a way to stop Carson Wentz late in the fourth quarter. But, hey, what can you do about it? But we said this so many times. The Bengals are bad. Joe Burrow is good. He's impressed. He's made some mistakes, but he's been overall good. But that offensive line, that defense, it's horrible. It's horrible. it's one of the worst in football, dude, if not the worst in football. So the Bengals are horrible. The Jaguars, even though they have some nice talent, they're still a young, bad football team. But they'll give you some exciting moments from time to time. This might be sort of a toss-up. That Jaguars defense still has some abundance of talent, or not abundance, excuse me, some sort of talent on there. So I think I'll take the Jaguars. I think the the team that has the best defense in that game is going to win, simply because both defenses are really, really bad, and both offenses can, although have a lot of flaws, can put up some points. So I'll take Jaguars in this one, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals pull one out and get Joe Burrow his first win of his NFL career. Eric, what do you got in this one?
I will go Jags. I like Minshew. I think that the Jags are a lot better against bad competition than people want to give them credit for. Yeah.
All right. Let's rapid fire through these bad games real quickly. To not sell you guys off, let's get an intriguing game in real quick. Let's do Saints-Lions. I skipped over this one. Let's go Saints-Lions. Eric, Drew Brees, his arm is we said his arm is shot, dude, and it was shot. But good gosh, man, I didn't think it was this bad. I'm so serious. I didn't think it's this bad. This guy won't throw the ball 20 yards down the field. He simply – it's not even that he refuses to. He simply can't. He can't. It's hard to watch because growing up, I loved watching Drew Brees. I think he was one of those quarterbacks that every time he played, people was like, oh, it's Drew Brees, future all the parent, da-da-da-da. But when you were talking about the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady, some of the other quarterbacks that have gone through or come through the NFL in the 2000s and through the 2010s, he was just somewhat stuck in the back of the pack when it came to talking points, somewhat, I guess you could say. So it's been weird to see Drew Brees' decline. And it was inevitable. It was a stupid decision to recite when the Saints should have found a quarterback and found a successor 2 years ago at least. So they shouldn't be in this problem, but they are. This team is running a lot on Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, that running game. Emmanuel Sanders has done absolutely nothing ever since he signed there, and I thought he was going to do good. But whatever, Drew Brees can't throw the ball down the field. Eric, what about Drew Brees? And what about the Lions? Who had a real nice win last week, didn't they?
Yeah, they I wouldn't say really nice, but they got the W. I'm more focused on the Saints defense, who are potentially without their top two cornerbacks in Marshawn Lattimore and Janoris Jenkins. They were reported as not being at practice today and likely out for this matchup, which completely flips it on its head because, I mean, Matthew Stafford and Kenny Golladay against inexperienced corners, plus a little Marvin Jones action. TJ Hockenson is playing extremely well. The Saints linebackers have been playing extremely poorly. I think there's a real shot that we get sort of a pseudo shootout, but I don't think that the Saints can keep up in shootouts anymore. I do think this is kind of an upset watch. I think that Alvin Kamara is going to be able to have a huge day. I think they're going to be able to move the ball effectively through the screen and short passing game, which is about all of the Saints offense. So I do think that this is a pretty high scoring affair, and I think it's a shootout, but I have more faith in Matthew Stafford right now. And he is kind of a guy I'm taking to win this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a game that I think the Lions can really pull out of the hat and walk back to Detroit with a W. And if the Saints drop to 1-3, there's going to be a lot of questions surrounding that football team. I don't know their schedule after this Lions game, but they could be in some trouble if their schedule looks difficult and they can't find out the problems in that passing game. So I'll take the Lions as well. And if the Saints lose, we're gonna have to have a little discussion about the Saints moving forward. Eric, how about Colts and Bears, man? Colts and Bears. That's such a weird game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a weird game, but I'm sort of excited. It's the first shot we really get to see the real Bears because they're no longer fooling us with Mitchell Trubisky as the starting quarterback. We're going to see what Nick Foles is, what this offense looks like with Nick Foles. Defense looks pretty good early, and the Colts are a good test. They're not a great offense, but they're a good enough offense. I would put them kind of in the middle of the NFL right now, and Phillip Rivers is playing like Phillip Rivers. He is he's a guy that still plays like he always has, throws a couple of bad interceptions a game, and puts it up. So occasionally, and I think the Bears can. I lost my train of thought there. I think the Bears can. I just am totally forgetting words right now, Trey. I apologize. I think the Bears can benefit from that. I do think that this is a tight game. I think it's low scoring. I think it's tight. And I think there is a chance the Bears win this game. I'm not sure if I'm taking them, but I definitely think there's a shot that the Bears start 4-0. But this will be the first game where I really start taking the Bears seriously. If they can beat the Colts, mm-hmm. I will start looking at them as a serious playoff type team.
No, that's 100% fair. I think the full potential of the Bears can't be reached without some sort of competent quarterback play. And obviously, Mitch Trubisky wasn't given that, and he was never going to get that. I don't know why the Bears continue to convince themselves that Mitch Trubisky can be a legit quarterback option for the future. I mean, he just hasn't shown anything ever since his second year in the league. And that second year in the league was really, really bad. Maybe Nick Foles can give them the jump they needed. He played some good football last week. Threw a pick, but he threw a couple touchdowns and looked much better in that Bears offense than Mitch Trubisky did. But I'm still riding with the Colts. The Colts are the much better football team on paper, and they've looked like the much better football team through the first 3 weeks of the season. Defense has played well. The Colts' running game is really good. And Phillip Rivers, even though he hasn't played the most eye-opening football, he still plays some good football, some steady football that you can play with that good running game that they have. So I think I'll go with the Colts here. Like you said, in a low-scoring, tight game down the stretch where you can get a real nice finish at the end. Eric, do you want to pick a game, or do you want me to keep on going, man?
Yeah, I'll pick a game here. Let's go. Let's go. Roadkill game. Vikings, Texans. Two teams that are staring at the end of their season. But I still believe in Deshaun Watson. I mean, he looked good against a great Steelers defense last week. Sure, they don't have a ton outside of Will Fuller, and Will Fuller is a constant question. He's questionable with a hamstring already. I mean, if that wasn't the most predictable thing in the entire world. But when he has played, he has looked good, I believe. And to me, the Texans and the Vikings just aren't that different. Like, the Texans have been banged by an obscenely hard schedule, but I still think they're an offense with pieces and talent. I think the Vikings are also a team that has offensive pieces and talent, especially if Justin Jefferson can step up the way he did last week. And Adam Thielen, everybody says, oh, well, he can't. Joe Rowe was on the show Wednesday, and he was saying, well, he can't really fit into that wide receiver one role. And I pushed back, and I'll push back again. I think he absolutely can. I mean, all you have to do is look at that touchdown catch against the Titans last week. He owned the cornerback that was on him. He just physically dominated him in the end zone and came up with a huge touchdown catch on a great Kirk Cousins throw, too. I don't understand the panic with Kirk Cousins. I get the end of the game was ugly, but to me, Kirk Cousins just looks like Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's fine. He's not a franchise-changing quarterback, but he will not lose you games. And he has not been the reason they have lost games outside of that Colts game. I mean, the reason they have lost games is because the defense can't play. Mike Zimmer is already basically through his safeties and linebackers under the bus, saying they were biting on play action too much last week against the Titans. And he's pretty much roasted both of his rookie corners. Zimmer is a guy that's interesting to me too, because I think he's been there for so long and we view him as such a staple, but I think it is time to start questioning, like, does he have that much job security? Because he was brought there, and the expectations when they bought Kirk Cousins in were to be a Super Bowl team, and they just never got anywhere close, and now they're staring 0-4 at the in the mouth. Like, if they're not a 7-win or better team, or even if they get 7 wins this year, I kind of struggle seeing them bringing Zimmer back. I don't see that working out. And Mike Zimmer is a talented coach. He'll get a job somewhere else. He deserves to get a job somewhere else. But I just feel like they got to move on, because once they move on from Zimmer, they can move on from Cousins and they can start a real rebuild, which is clearly what the defense needs. Because, I mean, Mike Zimmer is there to coach the defense, and the defense is terrible. And if we're going to get on Dan Quinn for – despite having a top 10 offense right now, we got to get on Mike Zimmer as well. So, yeah, this game really kind of fascinates me. What did you see from the Vikings last week when you saw them play against the Titans? I really don't get the offensive panic with that team. They are not that bad on offense.
See, what I saw from the Vikings last week, and I saw a little bit of the first two games, I think they ran into a Titans defense that has not been good at all this year. That Titans defense has been really bad this year. even though they held the Broncos to 14 points, the Broncos easily should have had over 20 points, maybe at least 25 points. The Broncos moved the football against the Titans defense, and so did the Jaguars offense. James Robertson in particular, and Gardner Minshew, they tore up that Titans defense. And I think coming into the game, a lot of people were saying, look, man, if this was the game for Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook, who came into the Titans game totaling only 109 yards rushing combined through the first two games of the year, 109 yards for one of the proclaimed top running backs in the entire league. I think that was the game where if you were going to get a bounce-back performance from Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook, that was a game, and that's what they got. That Titans run defense, they've not only been bad in the secondary, their run defense has been horrible. They're one of the worst run defenses in football right now. And I was talking to you a little bit about that, Eric. I was like, well, what's going on in Titans defense, or especially the run defense? The linebackers are really bad in gap assignments. They're missing gaps. They're getting washed in blocking assignments. It's really, really bad. And I think you attribute it to that saying – you know, defenses are still trying to get in the groove. And I disagree with you a little bit, but Dalvin Cook took advantage of one of the worst run defenses in all of football. He had 190 over – I think he had over 190 combined total yards in that game.
You can say that, but also you have to understand he is so slept on as a running back.
Of course he is.
I know he gets injured, but like – to me, if he stays healthy, he 100% has a chance to just straight up win the rushing title. Hands down in this offense. I truly believe that. I mean, I don't care if the Titans run defense doesn't look good early. He's looked good in every single game he's played this year.
That's fair. I just think he had a real good day against a real bad defense. And that's what you want him to do. That's what you want him to do, 100%. That's what you want him to do. Like I said, he's one of the proclaimed top backs in the league, and I truly believe that. He had a real good day, and a real good bounce-back day, which is fun, which is good to see from a back of his caliber. So I think with the whole matter with the Vikings is that they're just running into – they have a lot of holes in that football team, and they've developed over the course of the years due to departures and injuries like Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, Danielle Hunter's been hurt, Everson Griffin's gone, the quarterback room is Xavier Rhodes is gone. They paid him all that money. Xavier Rhodes is gone. It's just been a whole bunch of problems and holes that have developed over the years that you just can't fix, you know, like that with a snap of a finger, and still hope to contend at the same time. You can only do that if you hit 100% on your draft picks and you make smart decisions in free agency, and the Vikings just haven't done that either. So, and that's where they're staring themselves in that hole. So, going to the game against the Texans, and they're fighting to salvage whatever they can out of this season. Because let's face it, they start out, even if they win this game, it's going to be hard for them to find a way into the playoffs. So, maybe just show some fight against this in this game against the Texans and see if you can just start something. Maybe get a spark, see where the season takes you. And that's the same for the Texans. So, in this game, I think I might take the Texans. The Texans have the better quarterback. Texans have the better quarterback. I'm a big believer in Deshaun Watson. So I'll take the Texans in this game.
All right. I'm going to let you take over again, but we're just going to knock out the bad games that remain. And that is basically Rams, Giants. I don't even want to spend any time on this game. Rams, and I mean, if you didn't take the Rams, I would question your football acumen. So I'm going to assume that you're not taking the Rams, but you're not taking at the Giants. All.
Yeah, the Giants, excuse me. Yeah, yeah, Giants. I'm not taking the Giants, man.
All right, cool. Let's talk briefly Packers-Falcons. Packers have an issue. Alan Lazard is out indefinitely with a core injury. And so Davante Adams is questionable for the game. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is going to have to really step up. Again, this just kind of plays into what we've been talking about all offseason, Trey. Like, why didn't the Packers get Aaron Rodgers any weapons? And it would suck if he has looked so good through the first 3 weeks. I would argue in the same atmosphere as Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. And if they fall off just because they don't have any weapons, that's going to piss Aaron Rodgers off, and it's to a larger extent going to piss me off. I do think this game could be pretty fun, though. I think the Packers' defense is okay, but I think the Falcons' offense is eternally slept on. I don't care what you have to say about Dan Quinn. Dirk Cutter has made this offense the best it's been since Kyle Shanahan, hands down. And they are balling right now. Matt Ryan is putting up insane numbers. And even without Julio Jones, they were able to drop a bunch of points last week. So this one's kind of interesting. I think it might be closer than people expect, but I'll go the Packers here.
Yeah, I'll go Packers too. The Falcons offense, like you said, it's really good. It's really good, actually. And it's been, like you said, really good without Julio Jones last week. Against Chicago in that brutal loss, another brutal loss for the Falcons. But I don't think the Packers were running into problems specifically this week against the Falcons without Alan Lazard. Valdes-Scantling, I think, can fill in well. They still have weapons everywhere. Aaron Jones is really, really good. He's played some real good football. I think he's continued where he left off from last year when he put his name on the map even more, even with Matt LaFleur somewhat stunting his carry numbers last year. So I'll take the Packers, but it could be a high scoring game. Maybe both defenses have some questions, more specifically the Falcons, but it could be a high scoring game, but I'll take the Packers there. Moving on. You know what? Let's get Cardinals Panthers out the way. The Cardinals, Kyler Murray threw a bunch of picks last week against a really bad Lions defense. I don't know how and I don't know why. I think that game is just going to be an outlier for him this year. He just made a bunch of uncharacteristic mistakes, and it came back to bite him. They almost won the game, but they ended up losing. So those, like I said, those mistakes came out to bite him in the butt, but they'll get a nice matchup against the Panthers defense this week, who can't really rush the passer. So, short and quick, I'll take the Cardinals here. But if the Cardinals drop this one, then, boy, we're going to have some problems. Eric, I would assume you have no problems with a Cardinals pick.
Yeah, I do like the Cardinals here. I think this is a fascinating game. Everybody hates the Panthers. I don't get it. I think they're a fun team to watch. I get that people just hate Teddy Bridgewater for some reason. I know he's not the most exciting quarterback, but I like the pieces they have, and I like watching the offense, and I like Teddy Bridgewater. So I'll be excited to see. On the other hand, I don't give the Kyler Murray hype this year. You know me, I was very in on hyping him up all offseason, but I don't think he's played a single impressive game yet, to be honest with you. He's looked good with his legs. I just haven't seen it in the passing game. His feet mm-hmm. are crazy. The touchdown he scores last week against the Dolphins is like Luka Doncic, Luka Harden step back level stuff. And it's crazy to watch. But he's missed throws. He made poor decisions last week while passing the ball. And I don't think that's indicative of who he is as a passer. I think he's getting used to DeAndre Hopkins still. There's a chance DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play in this game. I'm interested to see how he plays without him. He and Andy Isabella have a really nice connection, I think. His touchdown throw to Andy Isabella last week is why people are so high on him and why I still believe in him. I don't believe that he has been a top half quarterback through 3 weeks. I really don't believe that, especially in the passing game. He just hasn't shown me enough. But this game can do a lot to change that. So I'll go Cardinals here as well.
Good deal. Good deal. Moving on. Let's go Chargers Buccaneers. That's I guess you could say an intriguing game. Justin Herbert has looked good through his first two starts in the league against the Chiefs and I believe last week against the Panthers. Even though he committed a couple really bad rookie turnovers last week, he still played some good football last week. And he'll have a test this week against a Buccaneers defense that came into the year having the pieces, having the talent. They just needed to execute and put it all together on the field, and they have for the most part this year. So it'll be a test for him this week. Tom Brady against this Chargers defense, working through the kinks still in that Buccaneers offense with Bruce Arians. I believe Chris Godwin is not playing in this game either. He's ran into some more injury problems, which can open up some. And I believe Leonard Fournette isn't playing in this game either. So that can open up some opportunities for other guys in a passing game. Eric, what do you like about this game?
I like the defense, the matchup for the Buccaneers defense. I think against a rookie quarterback, Todd Bowles loves to blitz. He does it just about the most of any defensive coordinator in the entire NFL. I think he's going to give Justin Herbert real problems. And I like Justin Herbert. I have not watched last week's game yet, hand up. But I liked what I saw from week one, and I've heard enough good things that I'm not entirely – I don't have a real judgment on him yet, and I don't think I'll have one after this game either because I think the Buccaneers are just a really great defensive team. I truly do believe that the Buccaneers are going to struggle on offense still. I mean, sure, they put up points against a bad Broncos defense, but they never – really looked in sync as an offense in that game. They never really clicked. There were just a few, like two or three good starting field positions, a few long plays. They never really got a rhythm going. It never really felt like Tom Brady was marching up and down the field like he has the tendency to do at points. So I'll be interested to see what happens, especially because, I mean, not to pull up this old stereotype of you beat Tom Brady by rushing him up the middle. But, I mean, the Chargers pass rush is built to beat Tom Brady. Like, this is a pass rush that is going to hit Brady a lot, get pressure in his face up the middle, and I'll be interested to see if he can hang. I mean, they're without Chris Harris Jr. right now, which really hurts them in the secondary. They're relying a ton on the guys back there. I just don't know if they're necessarily equipped to stop Brady, but I think this will be a good matchup, and I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring than people think, but I'll go Buccaneers here.
Yeah, I'll go Buccaneers as well. Like we said, that Buccaneers defense is playing like one of the best in football right now, and I think they're going to cause some real, real problems for the rookie and Justin Herbert this Sunday. Moving on, let's get to a game where I don't think it's necessarily overly intriguing or fascinating, but it possesses some storylines, particularly a big one in the MVP race that I think will get a lot of some people to tune in and keep up with it as the day goes on. Seahawks, Dolphins, Eric, Russell Wilson. All the talk about Russell Wilson not getting an MVP vote, I don't know how it became so much of a topic, and I can understand why. Honestly, though, Russell Wilson has played like one of the best quarterbacks in football for the past 6 or 7 years. But now, I mean, maybe that's just me, but Russell Wilson is on fire. To put it bluntly, he is in fuego, dude. I believe he's had 14 touchdown passes to the first.
Yes,
I believe. 14 touchdown passes.
Most by any quarterback for 3 games ever. So,
I said
it last week. I'm sticking with it. I mean, the Seahawks are going to shatter every single 2013 Broncos record that's out there. They just are. Like, it's an offense built to put up 30 points a game. The defense is bad. I'm stealing a Jonder's point here. They should just focus on getting turnovers, honestly, because they – for bad as they are in coverage, they forced 3 key turnovers last week, and I would say that's arguably that and Russ is what won them the game. As long as they can get like 3 turnovers a week and let Russ continue to cook, I just don't see who's beating them. Their schedule is also, as Jonders has brought up to me, obscenely easy. Just like obscenely easy. Over the next few weeks, especially starting with this game. Dolphins, they looked better on defense against the Jaguars, so I'll give them that. They got to the quarterback. They got hits on Minshew. So I wonder how they respond against Seattle, who I wouldn't say has had the best offensive line play, but good enough. But I don't really see Seattle losing this game. I would say there's a 0% chance of that happening. I think this is a lock. I think the Seahawks are going to go 4-0. I think they're probably going to start. Let's pull up the schedule here. I think they're probably going to start 4-0. Vikings next week, 5-0. Cardinals, 6-0. Niners, 7-0. Bills. Yeah, I think they legitimately could start like 7-0. So I don't really see them even having a shot to really lose until they play the Bills in November. So I think October is going to be another dominant month, and it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I'm not worried about the Seahawks at all. They are an awesome team with an awesome quarterback, and I would argue the best in the NFC right now. So, I'll go Seahawks here.
Yeah, I'll go Seahawks as well. The Dolphins have been they played some better football through the first 3 weeks of the year, but I get them virtually a 0.1% chance of stopping Russell Wilson from continuing the torrid play that he's put in through the first 2 weeks of the year. So give me Seahawks there. Eric, I want to say Bills, Raiders, and Pats, Chiefs for last. So I think before we get into those two matches, I want to go over Eagles, 49ers, which should be, I guess you could say, relatively quick. The Eagles, they have a Carson Wentz problem.
Carson Wentz bad. Confirmed. Watched all his snaps this week. Confirmed bad. Not a good quarterback. Bottom five. Legitimately bottom five quarterback. Doug Peterson, not a good coach. They've got issues. I don't believe one of those two guys is going to be gone after this season. That's my belief. And I would not be shocked if we see Jalen Hurts by week 6. I just wouldn't be. They are terrible. And the defense can only do so much. They got great pressure last week against a terrible Cincinnati team, and they're a good defense still, but they've got no weapons on offense. That isn't helping Carson Wentz get out of his slump. His mechanics are broken. He's broken. I don't know what's going on. It's a shame. I really like Carson Wentz. I wanted Carson Wentz to be good. I wanted the Eagles to be good. I love when the Eagles and the Cowboys are good so we get those great games. But the Eagles are just not good. And spoiler, I want to know what you think about this. I think if Nick Mullins plays well enough this week, if he plays this week, there's a shot Jimmy G plays apparently. But if he plays well against this week, against a real defense, I think there's a real shot Jimmy Garoppolo might lose his job because he was just terrible to start the season. I mean, he was awful, just as bad as Carson Wentz. And I think Nick Mullins is operating at an insane level right now. It's been two bad defenses, but if he does even half of that against the Eagles, I think there's a real quarterback controversy in San Fran. What do you think?
I would agree with you if Jimmy G didn't have so much money committed to him throughout the rest of his contract so far. I don't have.
They can easily cut him going into next year, by the way. I looked that up today.
Really now?
Yeah.
Really now?
They can pretty easily get out of it.
See, I'm not the biggest Jimmy G fan. You know personally that I'm not the biggest Jimmy G fan at all. But I think the 49ers would rather stick that out. That's quarterback situation with Jimmy now. I think they would rather stick that out until they see some sort of insane sort of example that makes them want to, you know, immediately jump ship from Jimmy G and go find another option. Or stick with Nick Mullins, who they have on roster, like you said, who's played really, really well over the past 2 weeks. So I think they'll stick with Jimmy G. But if things go haywire real quickly, Nick Mullins might have a shot to get in there and get a look. Those are my thoughts on that. But gosh, back to the Eagles. Like, I think you took away all I wanted to say. Carson Wentz has been horrible. Peterson has been bad. The defense has been good. And injuries have affected that offense somewhat. Once again, Dallas Goedert's out. Alshon Jeffrey's been out. Jalen Reagor, who they drafted to bring some frontline speed to that offense, he's hurt. DeSean Jackson's hurt. Miles Sanders has ran into some injuries this year. It's just a revolving door of injuries at the wide receiver position this year, and it's ridiculous. So that doesn't excuse the fact that Carson Wentz has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL this year, which is not good at all considering the money that they're paying him right now and for the future. So, but still, it's been ridiculous the amount of injuries that that wide receiver core and somewhat at the tight end position has accumulated over the past couple of years. So we'll see if the Eagles can get it together against the 49ers defense. I highly doubt it, even with Nick Bosa out, even with Dee Ford dealing with some injuries. I'm just not confident in the Eagles at all. I like you said, Jalen Hurts, I'm more interested in seeing what Jalen Hurts can do. He got some run in last week, and that got me a little bit excited because, I mean, anytime we get some sort of quarterback controversy, I always want to watch. I always want to jump in because I love chaos. I love chaos. Chaos is fun. I think that's why I love the NCAA tournament so much. I love chaos. I love all the chaos. Love it. Give it to me. Give me chaos. But
I like chaos.
Okay, thank you, Eric. But
I'm taking these last games. I'm taking back over because I got a question.
Okay.
All right,
let me pick 49ers, man. Let me pick 49ers.
Okay. Me too. All right, let's talk about the AFC because that's where the action is this week.
Yes, sir.
The Bills, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Chiefs. Let's combine this. Let's combine this into talking a little bit about your team too, and a game that was postponed that was also a key game in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Here are, I believe, the top five teams in the AFC right now. Apologies to the Ravens, but they're out of this mix because they lost to the Chiefs. They'll be in next week, but for right now, let's forget about the Ravens. Patriots, Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Titans. Rank them.
Patriots, Bills, Chiefs, Steelers, Titans. I will rank Chiefs number one, Bills number two, Steelers three, Patriots four, Titans five. I'll go with that.
Okay. I'm surprised that you're that low on the Titans. I am not. I just really think that they're a great team. I would go probably Chiefs one, Patriots 2, Bills 3, Titans 4, Steelers 5. just because I think that I like what I've seen from the Titans a little bit more than I have the Steelers, even though the Steelers are a great team. And I think that they would have flipped because I think the Steelers probably would have beaten the Titans. I think that the Patriots have a better shot than people are giving them on Sunday. I sort of believe that they are a sleeping giant and they are about one win over the Chiefs away from us talking about them as a Super Bowl team again. And Patrick Mahomes has had success against the Patriots. It's been one of the funnest matchups to watch in his career. And now that it's Cam Newton, it's going to be extra fun. I like the Patriots in this game, actually. I really do think that this game, and if we're looking at gambling aspects, the Chiefs are favored by 7. That's just not right. This is going to be a close.
Not at all.
I just cannot see a way where the Chiefs win by 7 or more. I think this is a field goal game. And I'm interested to see what happens because, I mean, the Patriots, they take out your number one guy every week. And I think they can take out Tyreek Hill, and I think they can slow down Travis Kelce. So this is really going to be Mecole Hardman's show. I mean, he showed up on Monday night, but he hasn't really been used in the first few weeks. So he, DeMarcus Robinson, and Sammy Watkins are really going to have to step up. I believe they can. I believe this is going to be a close game. But I think the Patriots are to be feared. I know the defense isn't great, but I just trust Bill Belichick so implicitly at this point, and he owns me. He owns me. I'm in his back pocket. Until he, you know, until he proves me otherwise, he's the best coach in the NFL, and he's going to win. And he's going to give the Chiefs a run for their money. And if the Chiefs go to 4-0, good for them. I mean, I think at the end of the season, it's not really going to matter because I think the Chiefs are going to be the no doubt representative from the AFC. But I think that there's a shot that on this week 4 game, especially coming off a short week against a big game against the Ravens, you play another huge opponent in the Patriots. I think this could be a letdown game. And I do think the Patriots could get them here. And I think I'm going to take the Patriots.
No, I was going to agree with you going with the Patriots. I think the Chiefs still have problems in their run defense, like real bad problems. Anthony Hitchens is still, I guess he's a name back there, but he's not the linebacker that you want running that defense, calling that defense. Starting him in a linebacker for a contender like the Chiefs. And when you have problems in your run defense like the Chiefs have, and you run into a Patriots team who've abandoned the whole Tom Brady play action, throw the ball across the field, Tom Brady, Edelman, all that action. They've changed into a run the football, physical play defense football. That's what they changed into. Rex Burkhead had probably, I think he had the best game of his career last week against the Raiders. They just changed their identity completely. And having Cam Newton, having the aspect of his athleticism in the run game, it's big for a Patriots offense that I think can go into Arrowhead and pull out a W, which I think they will. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love the guy. He's like put on so many different examples of his absurdness each and every week that I'm running out of words to even describe about him. But the Pats have the recipe to go into Arrowhead and shock some people and get some people talking about the team. If they go in there and beat the Chiefs. So, and I think I'll agree with you. I think I'll go with the Patriots here. Close game, but I think the Patriots pull it out, and we'll start talking about the Patriots as a real legit Super Bowl contender going forward.
Let's talk a little bit about the Bills. I think that this is a game where people really start to take them seriously because I think they are going to blow out the Raiders. I don't even think it's going to be close. The Raiders, they've got a good formula, but they are not built to play against great quarterbacks, and Josh Allen is a great quarterback right now. And I just think the Bills win this one big.
No, I agree with you. The Raiders' defense is porous. The offense has played some nice football. But I don't think they'll run into or find much success against a Bills defense that, even though they let up some points against the Rams last week, they still played some really, really good football through, I guess you could say, those first 3.5 quarters. So give me Bills big in this one.
All right. Well, that'll do it, Trey. Thanks for joining me. You've tired me out completely. I mean, not only did, because of current world events, I stay up all night last night, basically. Not only do I have to wake up for work at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, I am thoroughly exhausted from this podcast, and I am worried about waking up in the morning. So congrats to you on doing that to me, and I am going to just stop talking now, and we're going to get out of here. Follow us on Twitter, at EndZonePod. This is week 4, so Trey, why don't you plug everything you do? We'll do that every 4 weeks.
Find me on Twitter, at TreyWatkins099. Write about the Titans, general NFL stuff for Black Sports Online and Titans Brawl. Won't be getting out a lot of stuff Titans related this week due to their COVID outbreak. Might have some stuff this upcoming or next week if the Titans do indeed play their big matchup against the Bills at home. But if they don't, that sucks because I like watching football. So, but yeah, follow me there. I'll get you stuff up there, and let's get out of here so Eric can get some rest. He's really tired.
All right, thanks, Ray. We'll see you next Friday. Peace out, everybody. Stay safe. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.